Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show.
Hey everybody, it's Link over here at the Linux Link Tech Show. Thanks for stopping by again, once again, this Wednesday evening for our show. Anybody know what number show we have
34.
Woo-hoo. 34. Lots of stuff. All right, everybody.
Two things.
What two things?
I don't know.
Yeah. The two things are different for everybody, right? Just find out what two things it is. Okay. We're going to come right back after these messages and start the show off. In the meantime, please make sure to join right up on IRC so you can talk to us, and we can have all kinds of good conversations when we come back. Hang in there. Trying to find the right buttons again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speed it up there, Swifty.
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Now, class, what do we learn about today? And what do we do with the tech show, children?
Listen, damn it.
And who's your favorite tech show host?
Link.
Very good, class.
That's right, children. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and get your Linux education on the Linux Link Tech Show. I love that. That's
nothing like cursing infants or toddlers. I'm still blown away by the sound of your wife,
whatever
her voice.
Oh, yeah.
This is amazing.
She has a nice voice.
Oh, that's hilarious. I just heard that.
She moans well, too.
Where have you been?
15 seconds behind.
He's 15 seconds behind. No, yeah, but we've been playing it on the stream for the last...
Not only is he 15 seconds behind, he's like 5 days behind, too.
We've been playing it on the stream all week.
When I tune in, I haven't heard that one.
It's because you don't, you know, he tunes in for 5 minutes, shits it off.
Well, not 5 minutes, but I usually only tune in the evenings at home.
I see.
But I just haven't heard that one yet.
And with that new 6-hour stream thing Dan has concocted, that could make it difficult to hear the whole stream in one
evening. I've
actually
been picking up, like, different things each time I've logged in, so it's been good.
Yes, indeed. It's good stuff.
Just what everybody wants.
Good stuff. Gotta love it.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, good. So what did we... I know that for those of you who are just listening to the show, especially if it's the first time, my name is Link, and we also have our hosts, Alan and Dan. Hi, guys.
Hello.
And, you know, we kind of do this show every week and have a lot of fun with it. Yeah, I can't even talk today. It's been one of those weeks, man. And we just started doing a, well, we've been doing a live repetitive stream of our show for quite some time, but we just started doing a live repetitive stream of several open source shows, which you can catch, of course, right along with this one, at our show host provider provides that, and that would be Dan, and his information for that stream you can find on the linuxlink.net. And by all means, grab that stream. We've got some really good shows. We've got, of course, the
Linux
Link.
Talk it up among all your
friends.
Yeah,
right. Talk it up amongst your friends. It's something cool and geeky to listen to, you know, when you when you want to listen to something geeky, I guess. We
more fun than three geeks should be allowed.
That's right. And we play, of course, the Linux Link Tech Show. And we also play the Lug Radio Show and the Slug Radio Show. Lug Radio Show being from some guys who are in a lug in the UK, and the Slug Radio being a Scottish lug. And they both also put out, you know, a little show, and we put it on there with some open source music, which we are hoping to get some more of so that we can do a little bit of rotation. But some good stuff nonetheless, and by all means, listen to it, talk it up to your friends.
Both of them?
You know, both of them, whatever you like. Play it at work.
Force your wife to listen to it?
That's right. Force your wife to listen to it, because, you know, wives need to listen to that stuff too.
My name's Michelle, and I listen to the Linux Link Tech Show because they make me.
That's right, and that's my wife, see? She knows how it works. Anyway, what kind of topics of discussion do we have for tonight, gentlemen? Anything?
Plenty of stuff.
Well, you know, take it away, Dan.
We're taking a poll on the forum right now as to whether we want to stream in AUG or MP3 format.
Yeah, that's right.
Unfortunately, we tried to go with the AUG, but it crashed the Muse, which that's the way it goes. So we're doing MP3 tonight. Maybe we'll get it worked out, some of the bugs. I tried ICES. What?
But here's my question. Does it really matter what you push it with on this end of the stuff, or does it matter what you're pushing it with out like Icecast on the other end? You know what I mean? Like, can you play MP3 from Muse here and then push it out as an AUG file from Icecast? Is that what
that would require re-encoding on the fly? Icecast doesn't do the encoding.
Okay. But I guess not, then, huh?
I tried ICES, but the thing is, it kept on, you know, you connect, and it just kept on a cycle going. It was really weird. I mean, it wouldn't play anything. It'd just keep rebuffering. So I'm still looking into some of that stuff. But
it's just something for us to play with, then, right?
Yeah, it is. I spent the past couple of days at my spare time throwing together blocks of music that would make it easier for us to fill up kind of a schedule, so that a rotating six-hour schedule, repeating six-hour schedule, not rotating because it's not going to change.
Right.
But, you know, like
well,
the first...
Well, it'll change eventually, right?
It would start off with, like, the tech show, and then tech show. Since shows don't usually go more than an hour and 15 minutes, the next show would start at the half-hour mark, so it would be, like, the first hour or so would be the tech show, and then at the 1.5 or an hour and a half later would start the Lug Radio Show. Mm-hmm. And in between there, it would be a block of music. So I put together, like, blocks of music ranging from 7 minutes to 15 minutes. So it would be easier to throw it in there instead of single songs.
Because
that's a pain in the butt trying to fill up the whole thing with single songs. I thought about doing half hour, 45 minutes, an hour long blocks. But then I was like, well, we can, if we keep it kind of small, we can throw promos in between and then do that news thing you're talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So for the first show, for when the first show's over until the half hour mark, which would be an hour and a half, is music. And then Lug Radio plays, and they're usually not more than an hour either. So that plays until at the third hour mark would be Slug Radio. And that plays, you play music in there, and Slug Radio goes to the fourth hour mark. And then we have music afterwards. But that just raises the question, that's only 5 hours. No way.
Slight math problem there.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
That's six.
That's six, yeah. It's hour and a half would be 4.5 hours, right?
And then you've got three music segments.
Yeah, three music segments. So it'll be hour and a half, four and a half hours.
Link Tech Show.
No, actually, it's 4.5 hours plus another hour. It's 5.5 hours. So about an hour and a half of music will be played. We'll work it out. We'll use the advanced calculus to work it out.
Right. In other words, listen to the stream anyway.
Right.
Regardless of, you know.
Don't worry about the time.
What kind of music blocks we have going on. It's still good stuff.
So generally speaking, based on U.S. Eastern time, 12 o'clock midnight we'll start the tech show. So then at 1:30 would be Lug Radio.
Okay.
And then at 3 o'clock would be Slug Radio. God, I'm not thinking right here today. And then at 6 o'clock would start tech show again, 8:30. Or 7:30 would be Lug Radio. 9 o'clock. Is that right, 9 o'clock? Yeah, 9 o'clock would be Slug Radio. So then at noon Eastern time, it would be Tech Show at noon. At 1:30 would be Lug Radio. And then at 3 o'clock would be Slug Radio.
Okay.
And then at 6 o'clock, again, until the next night. And then we're planning on doing like a little news feature to slip in there that could be updated on the fly.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So that would be changed.
Well, if we do that, then that's going to screw up the times and all that.
No, it's not, because we're going to fit that in there. So it shouldn't really screw up the times that much.
How do you fit it in if you're not sure how long the news segment will take?
I don't know. These are generalized times, too. Don't expect it to fall exactly on the hour mark. I'm going to try and make it so that it goes over, so that if you tune in at 12 o'clock expecting to listen to Lug Radio, you're not going to be starting in 15 minutes into the show, that you might be a couple minutes after 12.
Right.
And then maybe every couple of days I'll restart it at midnight.
Yeah.
So that it's more on the mark. And, you know, hey.
What he said. Yeah.
So that's trying to put some kind of schedule together. Right. And if we get more shows in there, we could expand it. And if you have right now I have 12 blocks put together of music that we've been using and that's been given to us. So if you're a band out there, please get it to us. Mm-hmm. I don't have any repeats yet in those blocks.
We're doing good with that, but we need more.
So I've been taking the lazy way out and using Resound to make those blocks.
So it's because Resound is a cool tool.
It is. So you throw the block, you know, pull up the song, throw in 3 seconds of silence at the end of it, copy in the next song into it, throw another 3 seconds, copy it, export it to an AUG file, and we're good to go.
Yeah.
Happy day, go lucky.
That's right. That's right. And speaking of music, like we're asking, you know, musicians, local or not, if you're listening to the show and you'd like to get some of your stuff on, please send it to us. Also, just in general, like any kind of open source type of show, you know?
Right.
If you're doing some kind of open source show kind of thing, or, you know, some kind of show thing that you'd like to put on the air with, you know, our kind of content too, man, by all means, you know, let us know. We'd be happy to stick it on there. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work.
It doesn't have to be an hour either.
It could be a
10 or 15 minute segment. We can even use that.
Something. I'm trying to bug. I got a buddy of mine at work who he's a real sports fanatic. And I thought, you know, trying to bug him to get him to put together, you know, a 15 minute block of his sports stuff, you know. What he sees, predictions and things like that. I mean, I'm not much into sports, but he really likes it. And I figure, you know, there's a lot of other people that are listening that are going to be interested, you know.
Listening who would like it.
So, you know, and I told him, you know, by all means, make the worst predictions you can so that it'll piss people off and they'll keep listening to it, you know. See what he says this time. But I haven't gotten him to do that yet. So that kind of idea is still open, hint, hint, for any of you who are into that sort of thing.
That kinky thing.
Yeah. The Lug Radio guys. I like drinking.
Yeah, we just like stinking over here. We actually have a fan in here tonight, courtesy of Alan Metzler. Yeah.
That's right.
Who has brought
actually
a
keeping
fan.
The temperature in here sort of livable as opposed
it's,
to like last
awesome.
Week.
It's not the boggy atmosphere it usually is.
This is awesome.
Is the dog even in here?
No, I took the dog out earlier. So.
She's gone to notice the absence of smell.
That's not, it's going to change soon. Trust me.
That taco from earlier, huh?
The absence of smell. Well, what's this? What about this app of the week thing?
Well, I got two apps of the week.
Well, I have
actually,
one
I got
too.
A couple apps.
I
of the
have
week.
Like a honorable mention. You
nobody
know
wants
I mean?
To hear about your apps.
Well, they need to hear about this, and it's probably everybody knows this, but if they don't, you know, they really should, because my vote for the app of the week and probably the app of the month would be Silfeed. Because
Silfeed, you know, or Silfeed Claws?
Either one, you know. Either one. You have to have a good email client. You know what I mean? It just is necessary in this day and age. And unfortunate as it may be, you need to have, on occasion, a good GUI email client. And I believe that would be Silfeed. There are some things that it does not do yet.
Like what?
Specifically things dealing with IMAP, which I use. Things like it doesn't copy your sent mail into a sent mail folder. It doesn't do that. It doesn't copy your, make a copy of your sent mail and stuff. And there's a couple other things.
Wait, what are you talking about? It doesn't make a copy. I have a copy of my sent mail.
Do you use IMAP or do you use POP3?
I use POP3.
Aha. See, I said specifically dealing with IMAP. There's Dan, not paying attention again. Okay. But no, really, really good mail client. Another good one is KMail. Unfortunately, most people don't, you know, well, most people actually do run KDE. I don't because it's a pig and huge and bloated. And so I don't necessarily, like, have all of those KDE libraries on my system, which makes it very difficult to run
KMail. I don't like KMail. I always have a hard time configuring KMail and getting it to work properly.
It's one and of those mystical applications.
Slow. And I've been using Evolution over here. So.
There you go. That's another. And that's a good email client, but that's another one that's impossible to get working on some systems sometimes.
Yeah,
so.
It's a little tricky at times.
Yes, it is.
Luckily, there are some Slack packages out there for it.
Sure.
I wasn't able to get the 1.5 working, but I went back to 1.4, and that one worked really well.
There you go. But Silfeed just works, you know, quote unquote. It's good stuff. And
It is. I use Silfeed Claws, and I use it. It's great because it allows you to put your GPG.
But Silfeed now does that, too.
Yeah, in general. And it's got a nice filtering system.
That's another thing.
It's easy to build filters on. Yeah. It's really versatile. You could actually do your news groups in it, too, if you want to. I like it a lot. Now, one of the things I hope it does come with eventually, actually, there's a plug. You can put in a plug-in for junk mail filtering, too. Uh-huh. Using Razor, that's a possibility. I've actually implemented that, and it does work. It helps out a lot. I like it. The other one I like a lot is Thunderbird.
I haven't used that one
okay.
yet. I haven't tried that one yet.
I think if you're doing a pop mail account or you know, it depends on what your need. My needs are. A lot more than Thunderbird can actually handle for email. I did try it, though, and I thought it worked good. And, you know, for someone with one email account that...
Instead of the 100 that you
yeah,
have?
Yeah, right. For someone with one email account, it's just like a general email account, and, you know, they do the normal kind of stuff with it, that probably would be fine. You know, in fact, I have set it up in 3 or 4 instances with people in my company, because they keep having this revolving problem getting infected with the latest Windows virus, and you know, of course, Thunderbird. Number one, Thunderbird to them looks very, very similar, and is very similar to use like Outlook Express or Outlook. And number two, it does not launch all of those virus garbages.
Automatically.
Yeah, automatically. So it's actually a really good solution in that scenario. Unfortunately, with me like using IMAP on multiple accounts and multiple servers and stuff like that with different account names and passwords, it kind of has a few problems with that. If I limit it down to like one account, works just fine. But yeah, so I'll agree with you there too. That's really good. It's a good program.
I have mixed feelings about Thunderbird's. What am I looking for? Junk mail filtering system. Well, I think it's really great, and it does a fantastic job. It's based on an, for lack of a better word, everything's guilty of being junk mail right off the bat. So you actually have to spend some time training it. But it works. It works great. It's pretty fast. And it's nice that it's cross-platform.
Right.
And we actually have people that use it.
That makes it really good. Right.
And when I turn people on to Thunderbird and Firefox and all that, they're always usually pretty thankful.
Sure, because, you know, especially if you turn Windows users onto it, because Firefox and Thunderbird work way faster than, you know, their Windows or their Microsoft counterparts, which would be IE and Outlook.
Now...
Yeah, shivering comes up there. Heebie-jeebies over here, right?
Now, what was I just gonna say? Oh yeah,
I don't know, man.
One of the problems I noticed, and I've been espousing how wonderful. Tell everybody how wonderful Firefox is. Now, why is everybody popping off the...
I don't know.
Actually, the reason why I've been popping off is because my window manager kept crashing on me when I changed virtual desktops. So I don't know why. I just put some new memory in the machine.
I haven't gotten booted off or anything.
No, I've been forcing. I haven't been booting off. I've been forcing myself off, actually, by accident.
Are you using OS X or Linux?
No, I'm using Linux. So I'm trying to figure out why when I'd switch to another desktop, it would and come back to the one with XChat on it, it would crash. But anyway, now I'm in Fluxbox and it's working pretty fine.
Ah, see, you were in WindowMaker, weren't you?
Yeah. So that's why
we all know that Fluxbox.
That's
is
why
bad.
I've been getting popped off. Anyway. One of the quirks with it's not really a quirk with Firefox, because Firefox is great,
right?
And Mozilla and all these other browsers, Netscape, Opera. The new Opera is really nice looking
too.
I've seen that. Like that a lot. One of the problems that I'm noticing is people, particularly Windows users, who like to use AOL or Juno, or it might even be NetZero or other kind of similar services, they don't allow you to use any other browser but Internet Explorer for certain features. Or it complains if your browser isn't Internet Explorer. For instance, my dad uses Juno for email. And if the browser is not set for Internet Explorer by default, it will not let you run Juno.
Really? I didn't know that.
To get his email, the email client. Now, there's a web-based email. Right. Because he was like saying to me, I couldn't figure out for like the past, it took him like 45 minutes or something to figure out why Juno wasn't working. And he had rebuilt his system, again, Windows 2000 box, and I installed SpyBot Search and Destroy, which is absolute necessity these days, any kind of spyware application. SpyBot Search and Destroy to get it going, and I had also put on there Firefox, because it's a better browser, because he's still using Netscape 4.7.
Right. Ooh.
Which he likes. And I figured, hey, Firefox.
Ooh, that's old, man. Yeah. Wow.
Welcome to the 21st century, old man. No, my dad. Anyway.
I shouldn't say that. The Sunboxes have that at work, too. 4.7
stuff.
Wow,
man. That's
and
old.
Basically
not sure
set it.
Why, but that's what they come up as a default in.
Set it as a default, and it fired up. And Juno wouldn't work after that. So we went back into Internet Explorer, set that as his default browser. Juno would work.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of, and it's kind of quirky. It's a big pain in the butt. Now, what would happen is Juno requires that you have Internet Explorer version 5.5 or greater, I think it is, which he has on there. But if it's not set as a default browser, he keeps getting the error message. Says, Internet Explorer 5.5 or greater not found. This application will not run. You need to install Internet Explorer. And he couldn't figure out why I was doing that. So that's kind of a nuisance right there. And I'm not an AOL user.
A lot of a nuisance there.
Yeah. I'm not an AOL user, but AOL used to be have Netscape as its underlying browser and now switched over to Internet Explorer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And one of the problems we've had at work, particularly with AOL, is that their browser goes through a proxy, and their proxy address happened to have the same internal address as our network at work. Therefore, the way that the firewall was built and the network address translation on the internal network that the IU managed would go out, and if it was a 172 number, an internal network, it would only resolve a certain way. So that if you tried to get to the public address of an internal server, it wouldn't be able to route it properly inside the network. You'd have to use the private address. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because it would have to go out of the firewall, out of the net, and back through again, and it wouldn't work that way. So what was happening is AOL users would connect to our email service, and it used the person's IP address for part of the authentication and security. And what would happen is because it would resolve to an internal IP address, it wouldn't be able to go be routed properly back to the person who was using AOL.
Uh-huh.
So we figured out a way to get around this. Well, there's two ways. There's one way to set it in the configuration file of our email system. But the other way is for email for AOL users to open up a separate browser like Internet Explorer, Firefox, whatever, outside of the AOL browser. And that wouldn't go through the proxy system.
Right.
So now it makes me wonder, to take advantage of AOL's features, do you need to go through the AOL browser, which goes through their proxy system? Do you? And that being the case, would that require you to use Internet Explorer as your main browser?
Might.
I wonder. I don't use AOL, so I don't know.
It might. I don't know. I would say, you know, just ditch AOL and be done with it.
I've been trying to get my parents to ditch AOL for years now, and I can't get them to do it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Happy with the, you know, they're
that's
they're
right. I safe, had safe AOL for a long time, and while they were all right, when I was using them, outside of the obvious connection problems
like
that a lot of people have, my problems with them really started when I decided that I did not want to use them as an ISP anymore, and I canceled my service, and they kept billing me until I had to close the account.
Yeah, that's how I got rid of them the first time.
Yeah, I had to close my bank account, man. They just kept billing. And that really, really pisses me off. So I am extremely anti-AOL now. Really piss-poor business practices kind of thing. But, you know, there again, that's just my own opinion. So
actually, AOL is what keeps my parents from getting Linux put on our computer.
Yeah, there you go.
So I can get them to look at it. You know, when they're up in my house, they look at, oh, I can do this. I was like, well, get rid of AOL and I'll set it up.
That's right.
Oh, no, they've always got an excuse.
Uh-huh.
Well, now that I've switched over to Speakeasy, I'm looking to get maximize my broadband usage by getting AOL for broadband. Because if you're not using AOL for broadband, what's the logo? You're not using it.
You're not using the internet or something?
It's something like that. You're not getting it.
Speaking of, did you get the thing in the mail for PPNL, their broadband over the power lines stuff?
No.
I got stuff on the mail on it. I've called on them. I'm already on their list for it.
No
kidding.
It's supposed
to be sometime end of June, July.
Oh, dude.
In the Bethlehem area.
Did they say what kind of bandwidth they're going to be humping through there?
1.5 meg.
Really? Up and down?
It was hard to get that answer out of them.
1.5 meg.
Download.
Up. Yeah, that's 750. That's what is it? 756 up and 256 down, and add them together plus the weight. That's 1.5.
The guy, I had called him several times because, you know, I called in the evening, and the girl gave me a lot of information, but didn't give me much in the way of technical stuff. Supposedly, it does work with Linux.
It's because you were too excited the first time to talk. You just,
well, that was really nice to talk to. But, you know, I talked with a guy yesterday, and he actually called me back today on the way home from work.
Wow.
On it to tell me, because he had to check with the tech people on it. Because their standard way of doing it is a USB connection.
Okay.
On it. And seeing as rather anti-Microsoft, and I know damn well there's probably no driver for it in Linux.
Right.
They do sell an Ethernet-type connection, which will plug into the router on it. So hopefully everything will work.
Okay.
I put myself on the list for it, so they're going to call me again when he gets into the area. So hopefully that, you know, if it works, that'll be nice and replace my
that will be most cool.
Model.
And then you can, like, you know, you can do your own server thing.
And actually, from what I read on their site, and I don't have their site handy because I can't remember the site for it right now on it, but they do allow servers and everything else on it as well.
Awesome.
So supposedly it's all wireless. They put a some sort of transmitter up on the pole, and then they just come in with a little box and some antennas and point it at the pole. So it should be interesting.
Hopefully it'll
work, and hopefully they won't, like, you know, it won't be like RCN, which is, you know, for the last 4 years.
Yeah, well, make sure you keep up with the information on that, though, because then I'm
screw them. So what happens when the power goes out? You lose your internet connection. You lose it anyhow. Unless you're on a UPS, which
much,
I keep my stuff on a UPS, so if the power goes out, I still got time until that battery goes.
Until the battery goes out.
Well, and so I got to, like, 11 seconds, almost enough to get out of my chair and go, oh, shoot! Okay, and then it's done, you know?
Usually if the power goes out, though, I'm, you know, going around unplugging stuff anyway, so. Or at least reaching down and turning the alarm off on the UPSs.
So that allows someone to hack into your smart refrigerator, right?
Yeah.
You plug it in, and that's the end of that.
Let's make it say
they
yes.
Turn it up. It's like your refrigerator becomes a microwave. Your microwave becomes a radio, and your radio sets your house on fire.
Yeah, every time you close your refrigerator door, your radio shuts off or something.
Patrick was asking how much, and they quoted me it was $39 a month, $39.95.
Well,
I think it was.
That is damned reasonable.
Which is not a,
now,
not
is
a
that a broadband connection? Can you get AOL for broadband with that?
You probably could, yes.
Yeah, would you bring your own, what do they call it, bring your own access or something like that?
Interesting. Now,
the AOL people.
What's thinking here? If it's through the power company, I wonder what their maximum, their pipe is through the power lines like that. Is it like a cable type service where you would share the bandwidth with everybody on your segment?
I'm not totally sure. They didn't explain that to me. Well, I didn't.
You didn't do your
that.
Homework, is what
no,
you're saying.
No, I didn't ask about that. But, you know, from their site, they give a little block diagram, but it really doesn't say, you know, if you're sharing it like you would a cable, or if you're sharing it like you would.
I would imagine you would have to be
more along the lines of a cable type connection. You know, where you have a lot of people feeding off the same the same node.
Yeah, I would imagine it would have to be. I don't know. However,
but it should be interesting.
I think that's a great idea for extending broadband out to places where they don't have it.
Allen's house, he can't get any.
It's pre-wired already. You know. All they do is they just bring some sort of a transformer type transmitter, I guess, on it and just gets it off the power line so that, you know, you don't have to be plugging stuff in the house.
That's just, you know, that's just
that
really cool.
That brings up another interesting question. I thought that the regulation was that in order for somebody to supply broadband, they also had to be a telco.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
So how does that fit into that regulation?
Well, it's a power company. They're,
they're not a telephone
company. It's already the government. Yeah, they can do whatever the hell they want to.
I think PPNL's been after the FCC to, like, let them do this for a while.
Right.
I know there were trials running, I think up in Hanover Township, I think, was running trials on this. And I think Macungie, I think, was the other place. So I guess they were all right with it. So now they're just going to expand and...
Yep.
Yeah, ham radio operators are strongly opposed to it, but Being a ham radio operator, I have to say, I really don't care. I just want broadband.
That's exactly right. Tough. If you're a ham radio operator that wants broadband and can't get it, you'll live, man. I'll tell you.
Most of the people who are complaining on that are like, you know, the HF operators who 90% of them probably have like a 2-second conversation with whoever they're doing in a contest anyway. So I'm not really into that, so it doesn't bother me at all.
Listen to you, you bastard.
I am, yes.
And this is the guy that goes to the ham radio festivals and everything. He's selling them right out.
He's a mean one.
He's just like, I
just
right out.
I'm not selling them out.
Turncoat.
Certain things are more important to me in life.
That's right.
Broadband is one of them.
He needs his broadband, you know. It's kind of like needing soap in the morning of the show.
Now,
I'm a VHF
operator
anyway.
We have choice for our power company, don't we, for electricity?
Yes.
What happens if you're not a PPNL subscriber? Can you still get that service?
Good question.
Because basically, the power comes all over the same line.
Yeah,
so
it's all the same power.
The other
company
is just
different people for it.
Renting
when they answer the
from
phone,
PPNL.
They don't advertise themselves as PPL, the electric company. It's PPL Telecom is what they're...
Oh, so maybe they
that's how they get around the...
Yeah, they've started their own little telecom.
Own little spin-off, I guess.
So then, does it require you to have a certain phone service to be able to use it?
Maybe, yeah.
Verizon?
No,
maybe.
I don't know why it would, because they're not pushing it over a phone line at all. It's
no,
not
but
touching
the
phone
last
lines,
connection
touching
is wireless to you.
What?
The last connection, the way they explained it to me, the last connection to you is wireless.
Maybe that's how they're getting around everything, because they're not pushing anything at all over a phone line.
Is it encrypted?
I don't know.
Again, he didn't do his homework. He just starts throwing stuff out. It's like, and then the connection is wireless. Well, then that brings up the next obvious question: is it encrypted?
Is it
can anybody just hop
have
on
no
it?
Clue.
What's the distance? What's the range? Why would it be wireless?
That's the way they explained it to me. I haven't seen anything on it yet, so.
Because it's like that, and that's the way it.
Let me see if I can find it.
There is an interesting question right there. If it's wireless, right? If it goes from the power line to your house as a wireless connection, why does it need to go through the power, your electrical
probably because
lines?
It
why?
It probably isn't wireless until it's already in your house. You know, they plug a wireless router on it, on just the end of it, and then you grab DHCP or whatever from that wireless.
But then that
router
is not through the... that's through the power lines, but not through the electrical outlets in your house.
PPL Corporation.
Oh, it's not that you get the connection through your electrical outlet.
Like they're
no, you don't get it through the electrical outlet. They put a transmitter up on the pole.
Oh, really?
In your neighborhood, and then your box inside is just a wireless connection.
It just picks up from that the transmitter
from
that's in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now
it must be encrypted then.
So then what that means is you got to get smart here, Alan. You got to get yourself running with a sniffer and sniff out that wireless connection, hack it, and you'll be golden.
That's
there
right.
You go.
Provide it for free for everybody.
I still want broadband. I don't care how I get it.
There you go.
I gotta go.
You hear that, PPNL? Alan's going to be stealing your broadband.
No,
I don't care how I get it. That's what he said.
I just want broadband.
You heard him right there. He doesn't care. He's going to backstab the ham radio enthusiasts and steal wireless connectivity through the power company.
Yeah.
He's just a one man.
I'm not going to do any such
criminal things over there.
Well,
a pirate.
All right. Well, while Alan is backpedaling, we're like well past our time for our musical interlude today. Are we going to do that? I think we should do it. What do you think? Musical interlude for today?
All right, go ahead.
Good.
And then we're coming right back so I can talk about my application of the week.
That's right.
Bum, bum, bum.
Dun, 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 dun. Our musical interlude.
And I actually have more information.
Musical interlude for the week is by one of the members of Lug Radio, Jono Bacon.
Jono Bacon. You're going to cut your head off
for
not saying it right.
He's going to be mad at me because I always say Jono. It's actually Jono Bacon. And the song that he's doing is called Fragile. And we'll be right back at you in 4 minutes or so. Thank you.
flashing lights, tricks played on my eyes. Nothing fights the fear, having dreams of old. Forward we must go, elders we once told. And I don't know why you go so far. You take me there, rip my soul apart, inside my mind. This is meant to be. It's so fragile. Nothing is so free. Sunshine warms my face. Silence spreads around, warmth in this cold place. Effort turns to rest, laying so still. No one hears the calls, the shrieks out on the hill. And I don't know why you go so far. You take me there to rip my soul apart inside my mind. This is meant to be. We're so fragile. Nothing is so free.
From Lugger Radio in the UK.
Oh, that is so jolly.
Who was that? CBBC presenter.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm interviewing Blue Trunks.
I was doing my impression.
Anyway, we're Lug Radio.
I was doing my impression of Dan there because, you know.
It looks like
he's jolly when he does his. No, it's Alan who looks like Hack. But Dan's
which is one looks like me?
Alan.
He doesn't look like me.
Lincoln's got the tall hat, so you remember.
Is his name actually Lincoln?
Lincoln.
Is his surname Lincoln?
No, his surname's Fester.
What, his name's not Lincoln. Lincoln. His name's Lincoln Abraham.
Link on. The link on to Linux. Link,
anyway,
link,
again,
tech, link,
we're Lug Radio.
Yeah, we're Lug Radio over in the UK. That's lugradio.org. Come along to our website.
We're British as well. We drink. We like drinking.
Caveman.
Point of time, brilliant.
Yar.
So anyway, we're going to have some parties because we've only been given about 30 seconds. So come and listen to Lug Radio. Lugradio.org. I'm sure you'll like. If you like the Linux link tech link show, I'm sure you'll like Lug Radio.
Hi, my name is Calico Jack, and the voices in my head listen to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Thank you very much, Calico Jack. And you just heard about, once again, the guys at Lug Radio over there in the UK. And as a public service announcement to them, they are currently recording. Actually, they probably already done because it's like 2 o'clock in the morning there right now. They are doing their episode number 8, which I am in bated breath in anticipation of getting a hold of sometime tomorrow. And, of course, you'll be able to catch it on the stream at the linuxlink.net/8000, along with the current episodes of the Linux Link Tech Show and Slug Radio.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dun, all right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Can I have Microsoft Outlook as an email client? Yes. What the hell kind of question is that?
Well, there are two differences there. The late version is just the service, and they're what they call Max is you get like 4 email addresses with that one. That's the only differences between the services.
Okay, evidently we're still talking about the Ethernet over power lines, right?
Yeah, I just went through. I just went through their FAQ. I was just reading it. Just checking it out.
We have all kinds of pertinent links and information, of course, available on our IRC chat log, which you can get with the archives of the program, the audio archives of the program, as a matter of fact. Bringing me to this point, we did this week finally get a mirror so that I do not have to host all the archives myself. The audio archives for the tech show, because last weekend My broadband connection was down almost all weekend because somebody had downloaded 300 shows.
Every single show?
Yeah, 300. No, it's every show like 10 times off my broadband connection, which of course meant that I really couldn't get out and, you know, use any of my connection myself. So we finally get a mirror hooked up, and it's a friend of mine out in the UK. His name is David Cantrell. If you're listening to this, man, you're the guy. Thank you very much. You're saving me so that I can actually, you know, look at my email
once
occasionally.
Again.
Yeah, it's awesome. If you are listening to the show and you do want to contribute in some manner, we can still use more archives. Not only can we use more archives, but we can use stream relays and such. Please give us an email. Shout at us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net, and we'll be happy to oblige you, as a matter of fact.
Now, here's interesting. Here you go. Under their service contract of acceptable usage, you may not run a server in connection with the service, nor may you provide network services to others via the service unless you are subject to a service plan that permits otherwise. Examples of prohibited uses include, but are not limited to, running servers for mail, web, FTP, IRC, WIFI, and DHCP, and multi-user interactive forums.
Prohibited, right?
Prohibited.
Oh, so you can't do any of that fun stuff. At least not that they can.
Not legally, at least.
Not that they can actually detect or something, yeah.
So there you go. Nana.
Nana.
I had some applications I wanted to talk about.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it's time for us to go. Thank you very much. Let's do us next week.
Link hogging up all the time.
Yeah, me and Mike.
It's good that other people hogged up all his bandwidth this weekend.
Yeah. That was Dan downloading it all.
I set up a script to download and then five downloads at a clip.
Yeah.
I figured, well, it's not going to chap out my internet connection, but it might chap out his internet connection.
It's a good test.
Yeah. Sure. Anyway, I thought I'd talk about some games because everybody loves games. And I found I don't know how I ended up on Linux, happypenguin.org, Linux Game Tomb. I was messing around with it, and I found a really cool program called Fish Fillets.
Fish Fillets.
It's an older game, it's a puzzle game. And it's addicting. Unfortunately, right now, there's only like 8 levels that have been made for it. But it's a lot of fun.
You've played them all already.
I have played them all. I spent the one night playing them.
All 8 levels down.
And it was really fun. It's one of those games where you have, basically what it is, you have 2 fish. Okay. A big fish and a small fish. All right? And, of course, they're different sizes. And they have different capabilities. Like the big fish could lift big items, whereas the small fish can fit into smaller spaces. And each level consists of a path. You have to get them through the exit of the level. And in between the exit is stuff for various obstacles that are in your way. And you have to manipulate the obstacles in a certain manner so that you'll be able to have a clear path for both fish to get out. And it's required that both fish get out. Now, in addition to having some limitations of what the fish can do, you have limitations on how they can interact with the environment. Like, you can push an object up, but you can't let the object go down. You can't pull it back down. If you do, it falls on top of your fish and kills it. You can slide underneath an object, but you can't move an object horizontally, or it kills you. Now, you can move an object horizontally or go down if the object comes to rest on a ledge on that very next move, where the next drop would be. So that's a limitation right there. So you can slide an object across one of the fish's back so long as it ends up on a ledge. So it's kind of tricky, and there's other things. You got to be careful. You got to take a good look at the map, at the level you're in, because something you can do in the beginning will affect your ability to make, like, the last obstacle, to escape through the last obstacle. So you get finally to the last obstacle and you realize you messed up at the beginning, so now you got to go and start the whole level all over again. So it's a really fun game. It's addicting. It's at fillets.sourceforge.net. There's a binary download. There's a source file download. It's for Windows or Linux also.
You can copy that URL into the chat log.
Yeah, I'll copy that URL in the chat log in just a minute. There are various packages. There's Debian packages, RPM packages for SUSE. It's a lot of fun. Definitely worth a look to spend a couple of hours playing through the levels. It's got a nice little soundtrack to it. The graphics are pretty decent. It's not like a sophisticated 3D first-person shooter here, but the graphics are really good for what it is. And
yeah, but you know what? Some of the best games are not like real sophisticated, VR kind of. They're just fun games, Whatever happened to good games like that?
I picked
up a
used for my Xbox over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up a old bunch of Atari games they had out for us. So
yeah,
like
man.
Defender.
Yeah.
I always loved Defender.
That's a good game, though, man, And that doesn't have, like, really wicked 3D graphics or anything like that. It's like little
one button and a
one
a
button
joystick,
and it's little stick ship you're driving around, and that was a good game.
That and like Road Rage was the other one.
Road Rage
old Atari
was awesome.
Ones were the great ones.
Now another thing I wanted to talk about, because I had off the past 5 days, still got more days I got to burn.
I'm telling you what, man, jeez.
I had a lot of time to catch up on all the Shonen Jump. Manga that has been they're the red ones
around.
I only have a couple more pages in the latest one, but I've had them all backed up since like October. I get to read straight through them, and they started a new manga in it called Hiroku Go, which is a manga based on the game Go, or it revolves around the game Go, and I've always wanted to play Go or learn how to play Go. And do you know what Go is? You know what Go is, right?
Yeah.
Fine. Do you play Go?
I have never successfully played Go. No, I haven't. I do know what it is, though, yeah.
I went out looking for Linux Go games, and the biggest one, obviously, is GNU Go. And I pulled that down, GNU Go, and compiled it, and it runs great. It's a terminal application. It looks great. Now, there are some graphical interfaces to go over top of GNU Go, and every single one of those I tried to compile failed miserably.
Really?
Yes, and
it doesn't work with like Xboard or something like that, maybe?
No, that's chess, not Go. There's a difference.
Xboard was just a, it was a, it was a module to do a graphical representation of some of those GNU games.
I'll have to look at Xboard, but I'm not sure. I was based off of the GNU Go site where they said graphical clients that would go under there. What they said was CG Goban, JGO, and GGO. I couldn't get GGO to compile properly. It seems to be an older application. I didn't try CG Goban, which is a web interface.
Right.
But I did try JGO, and JGO worked great. It's a Java client, but it's not one that you can actually play the computer. It's more for playing two players.
Okay.
So I did find one called QGO, which is QT-based, and I couldn't get it to compile, so I made a Slackware package out of the RPM, and it worked. It worked great, and there's a graphical client you could play. So playing a graphical client, it's nice. It provides more of a picture to what a Go board would actually look like in playing it, but it plays just as well as the console client. Console client is very easy to use. It's a fun game, something to check out. I liked it.
Cool.
It's worth it.
Cool.
It's worth pulling it down. Checking it out.
Me,
play
I'm
some
still
goal.
Addicted to playing Mahjong.
Yourself.
You know?
Mahjong. My dad loves Mahjong. I tell you about
my
that.
Mom
He's got the.
Everybody in my whole family plays it like all the time.
He's got a DOS-based version of Mahjong that he leaves open 24/7 on his Windows-based computers. It's great.
Now, have you checked that DOS version and see if it plays under like DOS EMU or something?
Doesn't matter. It's the same. Every distribution comes with a version of Mahjong.
Yeah, but if he's
and
addicted to
looks,
that particular
it's the exact
one.
Same thing. It's the exact same thing.
It's a very addictive game.
It is, man. My mom started, got all of us playing it. My wife, you know, my wife and daughter are probably sitting at home playing it right now, you know.
Instead of listening to the tech show.
Instead of listening to the tech show, that's
they
right.
They hit the mute button on XMMS.
Yep. But, That's a cool game. I would actually like to play the real Mahjong game a few times. But in order for me to do that, I probably am going to have to go buy some, you know, tiles or something like that and figure out what I'm trying
or something.
Yeah.
You could probably buy one on the internet.
I own one. I'm sure you can.
I'm sure you could probably buy it at, like, Kmart or something.
You can buy anything on the internet. Actually, getting it shipped to your door is a whole different story. Like getting it shipped to you without getting ripped off. Although I have been very, very lucky. In fact, I did. Dan and I, this is a good public service announcement. Dan and I are actually matching today. We both have on our wonderful looking Linux
they
Link
called
Tech
each other
show.
Before the show. To
That's
make sure.
Right. Our Linux Link Tech Show t-shirts, which you all should have, you know, to show your support while you're listening to the stream. You should be wearing your very own Linux Link Tech Show t-shirt, and you can get them at www.cafepress.com/TLLTS. And mind you, we do not make any money whatsoever off of these things. It's just a nice way
just
to
advertise.
That's right. It's a nice way to advertise that you actually listen to the show
we
and tell
the,
all your geeky friends that they should listen to.
We do have to put the barbecue apron on there.
Yes, we need to do the barbecue apron because it's coming up on, you know, summertime, and we need to have that sort of thing laying around. But you can right now you can get t-shirts or coffee mugs or,
yeah,
trucker hat kind of thing going on.
The travel mug looks really nice.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get my wife to order me one of the tall white mugs myself. I need one for work for advertisements.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Go there, check it out. Get one.
Money.
Else, right?
Get the one with Alan on the back.
Yeah.
That's
actually, that was the way to drag
one where
him
he's a sniffer.
And you got all the way through it, as we were talking about that on the IRC. You got all the way through it, and then the whole thing went in reverse. So all you had to do to get all the way back out of it was do all your moves in reverse. It was really neat. My boss did it one time. My old boss.
Most cool. Well, guys, it is. It's. You have more stuff? Because it's like two after already.
Yeah, I got a few more things.
Hook it up, man.
A nice thing was brought to my attention on the IRC this week. Not the IRC, the forum, that the license changed for movable type, which is the blog that I've been using, And I chose Movable Type because it was a convenient blog that had a web interface that you can actually add content via the web. Because given my wife, or whatever, the capability of doing a blog, having her type out a Bash script, not a Bash script, but type in like a text editor and run a script
right.
to get it posted might be a little too much. Because I started with the blog that you're using. What is it? Nanoblog?
Nanoblogger, right.
I used that for a while and blocked some, and they were all great blogs, but I went on a Movable Type. But now it costs like $90 or something for a personal use license, which allows you to have 1 to 3 sites that only you author.
Really?
Yeah, and then there's a commercial use. So I'm looking now at other sites, at other blogs to switch over to. I think I'm going to be looking at Geeklog, which seems to be a pretty popular open source blog.
Is that another one we'll be able to go off the web for?
I think so, but I'm still looking into it. Cool. I'm not going to change anything over because I'm still using the older version of Movable Type. The only thing that stinks is when you move your blog over, getting all your old information into the new blog. And I don't know if is that even possible, or you have to export them all out, and then everything gets messed up date-wise.
Yeah, you'd have to, like, export it or something.
It's a big pain in the butt.
If you don't upgrade, you have to go with the new license. If you stay at, I think we're running 2.6.6 or something like that.
Yeah.
2.6 something. If you stay at the older versions, do you have to go with the new license agreement? Or
I don't see why you would have to. Cause
I just looked through the personal use license agreement and said you can use the blog on one website, but I'm only using it it's on one web server, but all the sites are kind of interconnected. Tech Show with the Linux link.
Right.
And then there's a Tech Show blog, then there's my personal blog and Alan's. But nothing's commercial, but would they consider the Tech Show kind of commercial? But it's not. I don't know. It might be safer just to move over
to... We're not commercial until we start accepting money for advertisements.
The open source blog. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah, we don't want your money. We want your stuff.
Yeah.
Send us good computers, man.
We want your content.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Send us some more open source, stream shows that we can put on something. I just can't talk today. It's been one of those weeks. It really has. Like, I spent all day today. I had to take my wife to the doctor because she pulled a muscle.
A muscle in her love?
Yeah, I wish, right? It was a muscle in her shoulder that she pulled, and it's been hurting her for a long time. So I took her to the doctor. I sat forever in this place, man. First of all, I hate doctors, right? I mean, like, when's the last time you ever got a really great feeling from a doctor? No, you always go there and they say some kind of crap is wrong with you. I just hate doctors, And the other thing is you go there and they poke you with stuff. It's not my idea of a fun place to hang out. Yeah, usually sharp things. Well, not my idea of a fun place to hang out. Everybody there is sick and miserable. No. So I went there with my wife, and my wife's miserable, and everybody around her is miserable, and I'm hanging out there for like 4 hours, and, it just didn't have fun. And then I got home, and as soon as I got home, my allergies kicked in, and I got this, nasty...
splitting headaches behind your eyes.
That's right. I got this nasty sinus headache behind my eye that has not gone away yet. So, forgive me if I don't sound intelligent today, because I'm probably not. But anyway, I'm stealing Dan's thunder. Dan still has stuff he wants to talk about. What do you want to talk about, Dan?
That was it.
That's it?
I just wanted to address the Movable Type thing.
Oh, okay.
And that's one of the bad sides about going with a non-open source licensed application.
Right.
You do run the risk. And even, I guess, with an open source application, when they change the license, if they release something under the GPL or a BSD license, you don't have that same restriction that if they change the license to a future release that doesn't change the license to the old versions. Now, when you're under a non-BSD style or GPL-based open source license, it's just something that they create on your own. Are you liable... Or are you under the restriction of future licenses then?
I don't think so. Because they already released it under one thing. What I mean? Unless they're re-releasing that version under a different license.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, with that, it's not that I don't like Movable Type. I like it a lot. I can't afford it. And it brings up a point. Yeah, it brings up a point. it's a nice system, but now they're chasing me away, and they're probably going to chase a bunch of other people away.
Sure, and that's a real popular system, right?
Right. So they're banking on that. It's not that I object to probably them charging for the software. I can't afford it.
Because they're thinking all these people will just roll over and pay for the new one.
Have to move on to something else. It's a sad, sad day. And we are looking at the suggestions you have in the forum. And we'll start looking at some people who brought up some applications that they'd like to hear reviewed, our opinions.
That's right.
And basically we read it and say, screw it. We don't care what you have to say, right? That's not true. We are going to be looking at those applications. Give us some time to play around with them. Maybe Alan will do some installations.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that sounds like an audio challenge to me. Alan?
Yeah, Alan, you didn't say the F word this episode.
Actually, I was just going to say, go to my blog and download the May 25th posting of it. And actually, it's the only posting on there, so I'll just put that right over there.
Download the whole posting?
Just download the song that's there. It's a song by Eric Idle on it with... called Fuck the FCC.
Oh, twice in one show. Making it the non-family tech show for the third time in a row.
It might be late, but we got it anyway. Yeah,
turn it up loud. You'll get a real kick out of it, I think. If you like anything like Monty Python-ish, that's very good.
All right. Well, we'll have to do that.
Now, the original, if you've listened to the stream, which Alan has not, obviously.
I do sometimes.
And you heard that wonderful promo that you made with your wife and my daughter's voice.
Yes.
If you listen to the original one, which is on the stream, too.
Yes.
It sounds like, after she says, tech show, damn it, she sounds like she's saying the F word afterwards. If you listen, it's like a couple seconds later.
I don't know what you're going to say that she was saying, but I'm telling you, man, I listened over and over and over again, and my wife and I were convinced that she was saying the F word. So
she was saying Buck. Because she says Buck, because the cat's name is Buck for Bukowski. She said Buck. And I don't know why she said Buck. But I was trying her to get to say different names.
See, Dan's trying to play this off now, right?
Like, yeah.
I got his kid to say all this shit, and now he's trying to tell. I'm a good daddy, and she said buck or truck or something or hockey puck.
Luck, you know?
Yeah. It's not really what it sounds exactly like.
Now, you don't have the original over there, do you?
Not on my laptop here. I do have it sitting at home, though.
And you're at 145, right?
Right.
I'm going to send it over to you. Fire it up. Let people play. Listen.
All right.
And we'll let them decide. Is it the F-bomb? I don't think it is.
You decide. I think it's the F-bomb. Listen. Listen up.
Tech.
I'm going to be 15 seconds behind you.
Tech show.
It takes a minute to come up, so just hang in there.
Damn it.
There's the damn it.
Listen, damn it.
Listen, damn it. I love you. She's so cute.
Now.
Okay, here it comes.
Tech show. Tech show. Tech show. Fuck.
Now tell me that's not what it sounds like to you. Let's get an instant replay here.
Fuck.
You can hear the B if you listen closely. Fuck.
Fuck.
I don't know. It doesn't sound like a B to me.
That doesn't sound like a B.
Fuck!
That sounds like a...
I don't know. Either way, it's funny.
Hey!
Right.
I'm Naruto! I'm a
Joe! That's just some, like, Japanese or something that she was going into, right?
So, I think that's it. We'll let the people decide out there.
It's going to be... And we're going to have to put this on the forum now for people to vote on, you know? What
was
did
it
Avery?
A B or an F?
Yeah, what did Avery really say? I don't know, but yeah, that's our fun for the week, guys. We are at 12 after. Does anybody have anything they want to add before we kill this pig tonight?
We didn't say anything about that book that was written about open source. One that's generating all that controversy.
You know what? And I looked at it. You know the reason I didn't bring it up is because it's like getting lambasted all over every media source known to man. And
this is the Linus doesn't own.
Yeah, it's the one that Linus didn't write Linux thing, and you know it's just everybody's
from a corporation that gets funding
right.
from Microsoft.
It's everybody's beating it to death, and I figured it really didn't. It really didn't or shouldn't provoke a response. We could talk about more interesting things. However, you know, the guy who wrote it is a flipping idiot. But, you know, you don't have to listen to me to figure that out. You can just look at some of the other information. Anyway.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, Green Giant. Yeah.
You beat me to it.
So is that it? Are we done?
Sounds good to me.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Lug Radio tomorrow.
Yep. Issue 34, Lug Radio out tomorrow.
Issue.
Episode, issue, whatever you want to call it, number 8.
88. Actually, I have to go back to work tomorrow.
Do you?
For 2 days. No, and then I get the vacation.
How depressing.
Yeah.
Hey,
I had to actually work from home a couple of times this past time.
I don't
change the subject on, but it's like the wrestling table getting a little bit lower over in this corner.
It's like,
don't worry about it.
It just looks like the gap is getting larger between the table and the frame.
Oh, yeah.
This is good, man.
Speaking of, did you just turn down the whole volume?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway, speaking of the wrestling.
You pay attention to your job, I'll pay attention to my job.
Anyway, speaking of all that, the comment was brought up about the hybrid, the phone hybrid. And where
yeah,
has
where
the
hell
hybrid
is it?
Gone? Where is it?
I don't know.
Aren't you supposed to be the contact man for that?
I'm not. No, man. We gotta
Mark, where are you?
We got to get a hold of Mark and beat him or something and get this stuff working. You know, because pretty soon we're not even going to need it. We're gonna get ourselves together and hook up with the guys at Lug Radio via GNOME meeting.
Yes.
And, you know, if that works sufficiently well, then maybe we won't even need a hybrid. So.
What?
When are we doing that?
Soon.
Dum, 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 dum.
Oh, soon. last thing. Call for support. Anybody out there who knows how to boot a CD-based distribution from a floppy or to build a floppy disk to do that. Be interested. Send us that information either to the tech show at thelinuxlink.net or on our forum.
I do have a way to do that. I just have not had the appropriate time to respond yet to the post. This is the post you're talking about on the...
Right.
There's a fairly easy way to do that, and that is to DD that CD-ROM to the hard drive and then boot the hard drive. That's the only way I can think of running. Now you have to boot it from the floppy probably, you know, in order to get Linux so you have DD working. Boot like Tom's root boot. One floppy Linux distribution. I love that thing. It's great. Boot that. Once you get that going off the floppy, pop the CD-ROM in, DD the CD-ROM to the hard drive. And then you should be able to boot from the hard drive. It'll boot the CD-ROM. Anyway, well, you'll have to mount the CD-ROM and copy the contents of the hard drive, probably.
So you don't DD it. You copy the contents of the hard drive. Because if you DD
you would have to. You would have to DD it.
But how are you going to open the
because
image?
Because when a computer boots a CD-ROM, what it actually loads is a floppy image off that CD-ROM.
Right. So how's it going to boot a floppy image off an ISO? This essentially is what you get.
I don't know. All right. Well,
I'll have to think about it some more. It's not that. It's a tough problem. But then, even if you did do that, how are you going to install it?
Well, you have to. As long as you can get it running on the same, you know, on the same kernel set, you should be able to run the install scripts off the CD-ROM. Like if you can get. If you can get it running with CD-ROM support, you should be able to run the
install
scripts
without
CD-ROM.
Overwriting the existing.
Well, why not this? Why not put in like Tom's root boot that floppy distribution, put the CD-ROM in, boot from Tom's root boot, and then mount that CD-ROM and go in and find the install scripts on the CD-ROM and run them.
That's a possibility, but you would have to mount the image and then change root to that image.
No.
Yeah, you would.
No. Depends on what the scripts are.
Yeah, but because
if it's just a simple set of bash scripts, you're good.
Yeah, but it's probably...
Well, yeah, you'd have to... Yeah,
you'd have to change root to that.
You'd have to change
your
root.
You could probably do it that way.
Yeah,
although
yeah,
I don't...
you could.
But the it's a funky distribution because it's a cluster-based distribution, so it's not exactly the same thing.
Right.
As basic, you know, one of your basic distributions. It's got some other funky stuff in it. So I have it, actually. I downloaded it, and I didn't burn it to a CD yet. But I was looking at the scripts in there about how to actually... how it runs and everything. So it's a... it's an interesting problem, and then getting it on there, I don't know. We'll have to explore it further.
There's got to be a way to do it. There's way around everything. It just takes some ingenuity. My question is, why use that? Why not use something different, you know?
Because it's a cluster-based distribution.
Well, aren't there more?
Well, there are, but they like that one.
How about, like, contacting the author, you know?
Well, the authors, the people who wrote the distribution as of version 3, I think it is. It's now 3.2. Their response is most systems now boot, or just about all systems except for older systems, boot from a CD, so there's no reason for us to make a boot floppy set.
Well, then I guess their, you know, their answer is don't use our distribution, you know. Find somebody else who is more accommodating.
Now, you can make a boot floppy set, but I don't know how to break the root file system image that they use across multiple disks. I'm not sure exactly sure how that is. Now, there's a how-to out there that I think you could walk you through doing it, but I just didn't invest the time to explore that. And,
I think, you know what, I think it'd be an easier thing to do to go from, like, Tom's root boot and change the root.
Well, my original response was,
mount the CD-ROM, change the root.
Pull the hard drive, put it in another machine, do the install that way. But then again, because it's this cluster-based distribution that requires, you know, it's based upon specific hardware or something like that, that might not work in this case.
Sure will. Why wouldn't it?
I don't know.
Because you don't have to, like, have the same...
different types of installs.
You don't have to have the same hardware to install the stuff on there. All you need is a computer that will boot off the CD-ROM.
Well,
you can put everything on there and then configure
it. Go to the website, look at the documentation. It's not your basic installation. There's some other funky stuff that goes on with it. And again, I didn't invest the time to read it thoroughly.
Yeah, what Dan said.
Uh-huh. Season finale of Star Trek Enterprise today.
Yes, I'm not going to get to see it until Sunday, though.
I got a TiVo. Why did you TiVo it?
I'm TiVoing it on Sunday because Carolyn is watching. Although she may have... I made her one of her country award shows is on. So we're fighting over the TiVo. I set it up for the VCR tonight, but I don't know whether or not she's going to, like, actually use it or override mine.
Well, I'm sure that my wife didn't record it, so I'll have to watch it on Sunday, too.
Wow, they're dropping off the IRC like flies.
Yeah, because it's past time. All right, we got to get going, folks. Thank you for listening to the Linux Link Tech Show. Make sure you catch us next week.
Thank you.
Same
Thanks
time.
Thanks for listening.
Same.
Thank you.
Same station, same channel.
Same pattern, same bat station.
Same IP address.
Thank you.
Yada, yada. Have a happy.
Yeah, I think we're going to end up rebroadcasting the show around midnight. So I'll get everything set up.
So what are you going to do until then?
Just music.
Just music? Okay, well, you know, hey.
Enjoy the music.
Enjoy the music as it comes along.
All right.
Linux Link Tech Show. Linux Link Tech Show.